And good morning. It's time for another edition of Sportsline, high school football sports show. The majority of Sportsline during the fall season is football. We'll try to get in some volleyball talk, some mentions on that. But high school football is our main coverage. A big shout out to the cross country runners playing in this 30-degree weather. Could be colder elsewhere. In Algonac, Shepherd, Delta College, and at Wagner Park. Those are a lot of the area teams in cross country. Good luck to them in the regionals. It's next week's the Michigan International Speedway, right?
Yes, it is. And, those folks out to Wagner, they could maybe bring their cross-country skis, a little bit of frost on the ground today. They could maybe scooch along and watch their favorite runners take part in the regionals.
It is Sportsline. That's Dave Frederick, our co-host here on Sanac Broadcasting Sportsline High School Football Show, a co-op with Thumbtuggeter Sports, Phil Nickel.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here. I almost called into Swap Shop to have somebody come scrape all the frost off my window this morning.
I had that problem, but thank goodness, and I forget because I don't use it after through the summer and part of the spring. Heated seats, one of the greatest invention.
Eddie likes his buns toasted.
They were very nice and warm.
That was a bell ringer there.
And soft. There it is.
The cliche bell.
Yes, and that was for under $4, I do believe, I bought, too.
It was on sale, yes. That was my delight when I found that the cliche bell was bought on clearance.
Clearance.
Phil Nickel, Thumbtuggeter Sports Channel 2, was at Kingston Mayville. Our vast coverage at 8-player continues. A good game there. We wanted to check that game out because we wanted to see Mayville again.
Yeah.
And Sanac Broadcasting 92.5. Oh, my goodness. What a close one there. Sandusky just edging their way into the playoffs with their sixth win. That should guarantee yourselves a spot with the sixth win. The game I was at on Channel 1 and Thumbtuggeter was USA at Brown City. And you're right, Dave. Watching Brown City, it's frustrating. They've got the talent. They can move the ball. And then right around that third down and long, a mistake here and there, that can be costly. And USA took advantage of it. In fact, we'll talk about that again coming up. I got an interview with the USA head coach, Josh Hahn, and talked about him getting his sixth win and getting the playoffs. Quite a great turnaround after two straight tough teams the USA had. And they had four straight wins and then a loss and then two straight wins to get into playoffs for their sixth win. So a lot of teams needed to get that sixth win last night.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting week all throughout the Thumb. You know, talk about pressure. Some of the coaches I talked with this morning, like, you know, they just put it on the kids. If you want to go to the playoffs, you have to win. And, you know, some kids did it. And, boy, that Bad Axe team, a good ball club. They're 4-5. They finished up. Felt bad for them because they got a pretty special team. And had they won, they'd have been going. But that was a good, nice ball club.
Yeah, and you had a good game there last night. And Bad Axe does have some good kickers. Kind of a head scratcher there why they didn't go for the kick to tie it up. Take it to overtime and keep you guys there a little bit longer. Get all those commercials in, you know.
So. Oh, boy. Only 63. It wasn't too bad.
We got interviews with the NCTL executive secretary. I don't know why they just call him the president.
Yeah.
Jeff Kozel MHSA official / Huron Golf Course golf superintendent.
And golfer. The guy can golf.
Right.
Jack of all trades, yes.
And master also, of none.
His daughter's an MHSA official. So, you know, don't even look at her. She'll throw you a flag.
Yep.
So, okay.
Give you a technical foul.
That's to all boys in high school. Stay away from her. She's a tough cookie. Coach, and stay away from my daughter, too. Coach. Head Coach Josh Hahn will talk to also from the USA Patriots. We got other coaches, Coach Brown, undefeated, outright NCTL champions, and Coach Jacobson on his big win. He needed that win, and boy, it was a battle. We knew Bad Axe coming in was going to be a tough one. You were there last night.
Yeah, it was a heck of a ball game, and it's like we knew it would be back and forth, and just a great ball game. They're pretty excited. Craig even admitted this morning, had they not won, they were staying home because 5-4 Sandusky wouldn't be going anywhere, and so that's 6-3. That was a big win for them. And you talked about that kick. We'll talk more about the game here in a few minutes. But that was a huge, huge swing of the game. And, you know, it's kind of neat. They had the chance to tie it. The Skins jump off sides.
Wow.
Free play. Bad Axe decides to go for two. And Sandusky came up with a huge stick right at the goal line. Stopped Clancy from going in, which not many people have done this year. And then Sandusky just dominated the clock. 7-minute drive to end the game and ran the clock out and to get the win. So.
And also another special guest interview. We've had him on Thumbtuggeter many years. Way back man, I think 12 years ago I started talking to this guy. I used to run into him at games out of the blue, and I said, man, I wonder who that guy is. And I said, what's that mean there, a snooze? He goes, you take a lot of naps? Because some games can, after a blowout, put you to sleep. Yes. No, it means it's the irony of it. He never really gets any sleep during the high school football sports season.
Yes.
Snooze to you in the 10 o'clock hour.
We had him
on Sportsline.
Yep, we had him 2 years ago, and I kind of tried to keep in touch with him, and he's gracious enough to. I first offered the 9 o'clock hour, and he goes, "Man, let's make it 10."
Snooze really means snooze.
I say the same thing, but I'm here at 9 o'clock. Unbelievable! Yeah. I get it. No, Snooze is a great guy. We usually run into him. Usually playoffs time, we run into him a few times here or there. He is everywhere, and he does a great job.
So we got him coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, let's get to our scores. If you didn't hear him the first time. On the sports of 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. here on Sportsline with Dave Frederick. Whip your scores from final games of the regular season.
Who on earth is up at 7 o'clock to hear you do the news? I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
I know. I heard you. USA, as Eddie said, beat Brown City 37-0. Armada beat Marlette 41-26. In that Sandusky game we mentioned, 22-21. The Redskins advanced to the postseason. Other games... Green City Cardinal Mooney beats Memphis 41-21. Harbor Beach in a slobber knocker over Lakers 21-6. Lakers actually led, I believe, at one point early on. Yummy City over KPAC easily 34-3. It was Cass City 26, Ubley 6. North Branch crushes Carroll 38-0. Michigan Lutheran Seminary 21, Reese 15. Elmont beat Clio. They stay undefeated 50-12. Raiders 9-0. Dexter clobbers Roslex 65-6. Richmond over Ortonville Brandon 30-20. My Yale Bulldogs. Week 1 win, week 9 win.
We love the Bulldogs.
The Rusty Bulldogs coming out to play.
Yep.
I love going down to that park and get flooded out all the time with my car.
Take your kayak, man. Take your kayak.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Bulldogs win, so they sandwich in a couple of wins around. Otherwise, they're in the doghouse kind of a season. And thank you. I was waiting for that. Detroit leadership 22.
Hey man, you got to give the guy a bone.
That's right. Oh, here we go. Barking up the wrong tree. Detroit leadership academy 22. Algonac 6. Millington beat Montcalm 41-18. And in a game that raised some eyebrows, New Lothrop all over Frankenmuth 42-22. Eight-player football. Carsonville wins on a forfeit over Caseville 2-0. Kingston 40, Mayville 22, Deckerville 48, Peck nothing. The Eagles win the outright NCTL Blue Division 9-0. North Huron 46, Burton Atherton 20. New Haven Merritt Academy wins on a forfeit over Owen Gage. Bay City All Saints 48-0 over Atkin Fairgrove. Morris beats Weberville 56-0. Ashley beats Litchfield 45-36. Couple games on tap today. Flint International at Burton Madison. That's at 12 noon, as is Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart at Genesee.
There are your scores, and we'll talk about coming up next here the records and who may get in, who may not get in. And we'll utilize a snooze to you mapatology with 8.5 weeks in. We'll see if their predictions will be right or not. And we'll be talking to him about it. 10 a.m. hour, a little bit of his history recap and how long he's been doing this. And we'll talk about the records of the teams also. Thanks to Michigan-Football.com also. And that guy's kind of back at it a little bit more. I mean, I know he was busy for a while. I remember talking about 15 years ago when his site came out. I was like, this is awesome.
It is an awesome site. Yeah. It's very interactive. Both Snooze and the Michigan-Football sites use them often for a lot of historical stuff for the Michigan-Football. And, of course, Snooze for a lot of the future kind of.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we got interviews. We're going to talk about the records of these teams, who gets in, who doesn't, who might get in also. So we'll find out here after a quick break here on Sportsline.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday and Saturday evening salad bar and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, thanking you for 40 great years.
Nature isn't the only force that can leave its mark, especially when you have a tractor built to help make your property your own. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done the way it should be done. Dig, mow, haul, and comfortably maneuver in tight spaces. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. The BX series, America's best-selling subcompact tractor. Kubota, shape your world.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Welcome back to Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on this Saturday edition, October 26, 2019. The regular season is over. On to the postseason playoffs. I'm excited now.
It was getting tough, man. Week 8, week 9, it's like, oh my gosh, it's going fast, right. But my butt's starting to drag a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't believe it's week 9 and the regular season's in the books, and it takes, that's Eddie, though. It takes him 10 weeks to preheat the oven and get excited for football.
Hello. I'm baking. Okay.
Oh, bacon. That's and eggs.
Where I rise. When I, okay. The Greater Thumb East Conference, the final records here. Harbor Beach goes 9-0. Outright Greater Thumb East champions. Ubbly Bearcats fall to Cass City, as Dave said in our score updates. They are 7-2. They're in the playoffs as well as Harbor Beach. And Sandusky Redskins, 6-3 overall. You covered this game last night, Dave Frederick. They needed the win to get in, because in that division, it's very tough to get in at 5-4. And they get in. Depending where they fall, I think they are going to fall in Division 7.
Yeah. And, you know, before we get into that, I think we should have like a week 16 or 17 after the playoffs are done. I would love to see Harbor Beach and Cass City play.
Ooh.
That would be interesting for sure.
I think
per MHSAA rules, that cannot happen. Maybe the scheduling, they could maybe switch that up, you know, next year. We want to see it mixed up.
All the rules, though? My broadcast booth was kind of tight. Yeah.
For the rest of the Greater Thumb East, Brown City finished the season at 4-5 after their loss to USA. Marlette Red Raiders, 2-7 overall. KPAC Chiefs, 1-8, and no wins in the season. Memphis Yellow Jackets, we appreciate them playing every game and not forfeiting, by the way.
Yeah, and that, you know, they were, we'll talk more about this in 8-man, but they were having those issues, teams just not playing because they didn't want to go against the bigger teams.
Or injuries, they say. So
yeah, there's
injuries too.
So. I think this last couple of weeks has been, we're waving a white flag.
All right, so.
Last night, Dan gave a ball game at Woodard Field. It was chilly, it was frosty, and it was cozy in our little press box booth.
Yeah.
Had Cliff Amy, my broadcast partner, back, and Adam Filkins, and the three of us in that little booth. We were cuddled right up and kept warm, but not too tight. But
it's nothing like having frozen balls out there. Hopefully you were able to thaw out.
That sounds like a three-dog night right there.
Okay.
You guys are getting warmed up already. Sandusky scores first. Martin Tovar, a sophomore, 5 yards touchdown. The two-point conversion failed, but they're up 6-0 at the 3:38 mark of the first quarter. Badass comes right back. Clancy, Jack Clancy Sr., quite a running back. He had a big pickup on a fourth down play and then scores, makes it 7-6. Badass kicks the extra point. Sandusky comes right back to 14-7. Zach Franzo back in, which good to see him full speed because
he's been injured.
DeLorean Wedge has a busted hand.
So one guy heals up. DeLorean Wedge goes out, the top running back, broken hand.
Right.
So
1,400-yard rusher, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But they, as Coach Jacobson has said all year long, they just have somebody else step up.
Next man up.
Next man up, and they get her done. Franzo scores. Carlson takes the two-point conversion run, 14-7. And then third quarter, Clancy scores on the touchdown, 56-yard touchdown Ooh. Run. He breaks loose in the middle, and once that boy gets in the open, it's like he's off to the races. 56 yards. Tulaski gets the catch, and a great catch, and a two-point conversion. It's 15-14, Bad Axe. And then the Skins come right back. They make it 22-15. Carlson, 2.5 yards out, scores, and that touchdown was set up by a 43-yard gain by Tovar to give him first and goal. And Tovar, for just a sophomore, he had a great night for the Skins. Then fourth quarter, Clancy scores from 3 yards out with 6:57 left, makes it 22-21, and that was where they were setting up to kick the point, and the Skins jump off sides.
Wow.
So it's half the distance to the goal, and the Badass calls timeout, talk about things, and they decided to go for 2 points in the win. And
the percentages there, I'm just going to say the percentages
right.
in high school football is 50% on that, but...
Well, they have like a yard and a half to go, so you think just, you know, hold the ball out maybe and break the plane.
Well, but, you know who the ball was going to go to, Clancy.
And it did. And
Clancy's got you now.
The Skins, great defensive play, open, a wide-open tackle, one-on-one, just took him down just shy of the goal line.
Wow. Interesting.
Huge stand for the Skins, makes it 22-21. Skins get the ball back, and Coach would talk about in the interview, they wanted obviously not to get the ball back to Bad Axe.
What was the time at that point?
6:57 left.
Wow, the ball. There's still lots of game clock left.
Yeah. You know, they didn't want to, the Skins didn't want to go down and score quick because that gives Bad Axe a chance to come back. But yeah, they did a great, great long drive. They started at their own about the 28, 29 yard line, and they just marched downfield, chewed up the entire clock. They went into victory formation with about 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And won it. A huge fourth down play that really turned the game. Both teams called timeouts to try to, it's kind of a cat and mouse game, you know, and they just crossed midfield, but Franzo put his head down and straight up the gut and got a huge, huge first down. And that was the ball game.
I can understand, and I think it's, you know, brave and honorable to go for the win.
Right.
But, I mean, you have a chance here to maybe... Bad Axe getting in at 5-4.
Yep.
A lot of 5-4 teams are going to make it in. We talked about it. It's the cliche for Sandusky. You know, they get in 6 and you're in. So, I mean, they wanted to make sure they were in. 5-4 likely would have gotten them in, but this guarantees it. But the same on the flip side for Bad Axe. They were trying to get in and get to 5-4 and just couldn't get it done. But, you know, at six minutes and 57 seconds left in the fourth quarter, going for 2 there is just going for the lead and not necessarily going for the win, I would say. But it's an interesting play. I would have probably made the same call.
That's why I'm not coach.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of an interesting night. I thought did a little bit of looking, and the Redskins against Bad Axe, since they've joined the Greater Thumb Conference, both teams back in 1997, the Skins are actually 6-1 against Bad Axe. But prior to that, back in the old Thumb B, Thumb C days, Bad Axe owns them. And historically, Bad Axe has a 26-16 record against the Skins. So, but since the Greater Thumb, it's been Sandusky pretty much except for one time.
Am I going to guess that Riley Franzo is the one that got the tackle on Clancy in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he had 14 tackles last night.
That's
so Riley Franzo is the one that pretty much saved the postseason for Sandusky with that big open field tackle on Jack Clancy, who has been a stud there for Bad Axe. He's been going through an injuries year to year, but
seems like he's one of those fifth year seniors.
I'm just going to say that
we've been mentioning his name for a long time. He's a great athlete, a great football player, and
hats off to Bad Axe. You know, Jack Clancy, 26 carries, 193 yards, 3 touchdowns, a total rushing yards for the team, 226 yards and 59 passing yards. Total first downs, 14 for Bad Axe. Not bad. Sandusky, Zach Franzel, next man up, stepping in. Last year, he had a lot of great bright spots, but didn't hear too much from him this season.
Well, he was hurt the whole year, pretty much.
Yeah, 20 carries, 201 yards, 1 touchdown. Martin Tovar was the secondary back right next to DeLorean Wedge in this wing T offense. He had 22 carries, 138 yards, and 1 touchdown. Total rushing yards for Sandusky, 347 yards, 49 carries, 20 first downs.
And most of the, obviously, the running that you just mentioned there, Franzel and Tovar, you know, you got to give Tovar credit. He stepped up as a sophomore and a lot of pressure on there to fill in for Wedge. And if you needed some, you know, bang-bang yards and fullback-type run, you give the ball to Franzel. If you want some finesse and get out and run, you give it to Tovar. And those guys did a great job last night, over 300 yards between the two of them. And pretty exciting. And Carlson did a great job at quarterback for Sandusky, keeping things kind of calm when it was getting exciting and tense there. He kept his composure and got it done.
Well, Sandusky getting the big win with that 6-win, and you have an interview right now with Craig Jacobson. You talked to him this morning.
Yeah, I talked to him this morning. He was on his way doing daddy duties with his daughters, and caught him on the cell phone making a trip to North Branch, I'm assuming for volleyball. But their Skins are in the playoffs. They're going to be at the bench warmers tomorrow night and waiting to see that selection show to see who they play. But they've got Coach Jacobson now.
Talking to Sandusky football coach Craig Jacobson, and coach, congratulations on a very exciting, dramatic win, if you will, 22-21 over Bad Axe. That was quite a ball game last night. Lead changed hands a few times, and back and forth, wide open football, pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm just extremely proud of our kids. You know, we fought hard. We knew it was going to be a battle coming in, you know, and we didn't have the best week of practice at times, and so you know, in the end, I was really proud of how they stepped up, you know, when, you know, we had some kids make some key plays, key moments, you know, on both sides of the ball, all the way across, and we couldn't be prouder. Just real happy that they took care of business, and, you know, Bad Axe is a very good team, very good 4-5 team, probably one of the better 4-5 teams in Class C in the state. So, you know, the hats off to them, because they're a worthy opponent, and they, you know, they lost some quality opponents during the course of the season. So
yeah, and so I know Wedge was out with an injury, but Zach Franzo stepped up huge for you, and I thought Martin Tovar, those two guys really stepped in, plugged the holes, as you always say, and did a really nice job running the ball for you.
You know, I think during the course of the season, you know, we've faced a lot of adversity as a team from week one to week nine. Different things going on each week, you know, and our mantra is pretty much, you know, next man up. You know, we need people to step up and fill the shoes, and you know, in early on it was a little bit harder, you know, with some kids that didn't have as much experience, you know, but by week nine, you know, we got a lot of kids experience, and those guys stepped up. Amongst and everyone across the line, you know, it was, you know, by week nine, you know, offensive line wise, you know, they had to make some adjustments during the course of the game. You know, our kids, you know, and I pretty much we put it on them. You know, they it's week nine, and they need to be able to do those things and figure stuff out in that huddle, and so Bad Axe came out and, you know, did some things defensively that we didn't even practice on during the course of the week that they threw at us, and we really didn't skip a beat, you know, and I'm pretty proud of that, pretty proud of the, you know, the way the kids handled themselves and really didn't sweat it. We had a huge penalty there on the extra point when they're, you know, going to tie it, and which made it half the distance to goal line. They went for two, and so, you know, one person makes a penalty and another, and then the next play, his teammate picks him up and makes the play and gets the stop. You know, that's sort of, you know, when stuff like that happens, you're pretty proud as a coach.
Yeah, that was probably one of the key turning points. We thought we did your game last night in 92-5. That's what we thought. That was probably the turning point there. But we thought, we kind of were curious about that first quarter. Bad Axe had, on their first series, they moved the ball quite well in 3-4 plays down quickly. And you guys call a timeout and make some adjustments. And from then on, it looked like you guys really made some defensive adjustments that really worked for you.
Yeah, they were, you know, their splits were getting a little bit big, and they threw a little wrinkle in there, you know, and, you know, angle-wise, tough to see, and then we saw some stuff, and so decided to take a timeout, and we shored things up, and you know, it was much better from then on, you know, so they, you know, they do some great things out of that offense.
Yeah.
And not only, you know, Kelly Durr's a good coach, and I have a lot of respect for that young man. He could be around for a long time. He's a quality young man.
And certainly when they have a young man by the name of Jack Clancy in the backfield that getting a direct snap, tough customer to bring down.
Well, and it's, yeah, so not only is that offense, you know, a challenge, you know, But they got some kids, you know, that Clancy kid, you know, the Tulaski kid that splits out. I mean, that kid, you know, can jump, he can run, he's just a phenomenal athlete. And so, yeah, and not to mention the line, and, you know, they have a real good senior class, and those kids worked hard, you know, throughout the course of the off season and the season, and, you know, they're a good group. You know, they're really a good group. So,
and then late in the game, you guys are holding on to a 22-21 lead, and you get the ball back, big stop, turnovers, and then you get the ball, and pretty much run out the clock for 7 minutes. Good clock management there.
Yeah, yep. And again, during some key moments, you know, we made some key blocks, we made some key runs. You know, Matt had great composure. Moment wasn't too big, and that's the thing with him. It doesn't seem to be for him. He really when those moments get big, he thrives in that environment. So I'm, you know, and like I said, it was a real good drive to finish it out. We had, you know, maintained possession because literally with 30 seconds on the clock with that Tulaski and Clancy kid, you're not out of the woods.
Right.
So, I mean, we just did not want them to have the ball back for one play because it was that explosive. So, yeah, it was great possession there. You know,
And certainly you picked up a key fourth down there. You had fourth and I think three or four and about midfield and got a big first down there that kept things going for you. And that was a pretty big play too.
Yep. We were doing, you know, a little bit of tendency there. You know, I think they thought we were going perimeter. You know, we were running the boundary a lot too. So we didn't either.
kind of a cat and mouse game there of what they're going to do.
Yeah, and so, you know, Zach made a great run. Zach, you know, he ran the ball hard. He wanted the ball. The kids wanted him to, you know, wanted to block for him. And so it was really their decision. They made a lot of decisions in this game. It wasn't really much about coaching. It's really, this game was about those guys because they it was theirs. They wanted to play in a playoff game. They had to win the game.
Yep.
And so, you know, they during timeouts and during some of those things, you know, they made some decisions on their own that I let them roll with because, you know, it's ultimately it comes down to them, not a coach. So,
and then so now you're six wins, playoffs. You're just kind of waiting to see how it all shakes out. What's your plans for tomorrow night for the selection show?
Yeah, we're gonna get together up at Bench Warmers and sort of have a celebration of some sorts and see where we end up.
Do you have a feel for how it's gonna? I know it's you won't know for sure until tomorrow night, but you must have some feel for what's gonna shake out.
I heard some scores last night that were pretty key. So I have some ideas. Yeah, I don't want to share them right now because I'm not until I sit down and look at some. You know, this was everybody shooting scores at me. You know, from across the state, not just the thumb.
Yeah.
So I think I have an idea, but before I say anything, I want to sit down and look at stuff and, you know. But it's you know we're in. We play an opponent. Could be someone we know. Could be someone we don't know. You know. Yep. So regardless, we're going to have a week of practice, and you know the kids are going to get a chance to go at it one more time, and you know, and then like I said, we said last week. You know, Friday night was really our week one playoff game because we needed to win that game against Bad X because we were not getting in the Final Four.
Right.
We lose that game. Bad X is in at 5-4, we would be out. And so, in all honesty, last night was week one of the playoffs for us, you know.
Yep. And anytime you have a week 10, that's been a great year for you. And you guys have got that. And we're going to be out at Benchwarmers, I believe, with you. We're going to do a special 2-hour sports line show from there. We've talked with Al DeMott and making things happen. So we'll see you there Sunday night. Maybe get you on again before the show. And until then, congratulations again on a pretty exciting win. Big win for the kids and for the coaching staff. And congrats and best of luck, and we'll be seeing you next week.
thanks a lot, Dave. I appreciate all your coverage. You know, it's great for the kids and the community and everything else. So yep. Appreciate everything you do.
We'll be back after these words.
This is Carrie Regantine, administrator at Autumnwood of Deckerville. We are proud to announce that Autumnwood has been recognized as a 2019 Silver Achievement and Quality Award recipient by the American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living. The award is the second of three distinctions possible through the program, which recognizes providers across the nation that have demonstrated their dedication to improving quality of care for residents and patients in long-term and post-acute care. Our facility has worked hard to provide excellent care and service to our local community. Our success is a direct reflection of the hard work and dedication that our employees put in each and every day. If you would like more information about Autumnwood of Deckerville, call Sarah Albright at 810-376-2145, 810-376-2145, to set up a tour.
All right, so time now to check in with the weather forecast. We'll be back here on Sportsline. Our cold temperature right now is holding at 33 degrees with some sunshine and clouds.
Well, the forecast for this Saturday, a bit of morning sunshine, but there is going to be a lakeshore flood advisory in effect from 6 o'clock this evening till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, any sun this morning will give way to a thickening cloud pattern and some rain by the end of the day. High temperatures headed to near 50. Tonight, cloudy and rainy, lowest temperatures about 45, 47 and rising into the morning. On Sunday, the rain in the morning comes to an end. We'll see the clouds breaking for some afternoon sunshine. High temperatures 55. Monday we'll have some sunshine at a high of 57. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
It's October. Time for fall. Time for bonfires. Time for trick-or-treat. And time for deals at Thumb Cellular. This month, get a $50 gift card to your favorite local grocery store when you upgrade, add a phone, or switch to Thumb Cellular with a two-year contract. Are you a Samsung fan? Get up to $150 off select Samsung Galaxy smartphones with a two-year contract. Need a charger, earbuds, or a case? Buy two accessories valued at $30 or more and save $10. So pick your fall favorite. Take your bonfire selfies and grab your treats from Thumb Cellular this October. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more details or visit their offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. They have the knowledge and experience to help you save. Switch to Thumb Cellular and find out why they're the talk of the Thumb. Deals are valid through October 31st, 2019. Terms and conditions apply.
On your way to or from the ball game, be sure to dine at Bench Warmers in West Park, Sandusky. Choose from dinner entrees like New York Strip, grilled salmon, plus lots of appetizers and sandwiches. Dinners are also served on Sunday from noon to 7. And of course, it's Sunday Fun Day. Football season is here, and Bench Warmers has 8 widescreen TVs to watch all the games. That's Bench Warmers in West Park, Sandusky, where every Thursday is trivia night.
And welcome back to Sportsline. What were you going to say?
Is this Swap Shop?
Somebody called for Swap Shop asking for a plow truck. Swap Shop on Saturday mornings, as many people know, for the past 30 years, is from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. And weekdays, 1:10 p.m. till 2 p.m. for the past 30, what, how many years has Swap Shop been on?
Oh, a long time.
I mean, you could even see the Facebook post telling you the time when it's on. All right.
That's my favorite segment so far, watching Eddie get all fired up.
Greater Thumb West.
That's without his medication.
I know.
Another team that had to get in with a win, maybe getting in at 5-4, but they did what they had to do. The USA Patriots, 6-3 with a win over Brown City last night. Cass City, 8-1 overall. Back-to-back Greater Thumb West champions.
That's awesome, because last year was their first outright Greater Thumb Conference championship, and this year they win another one. So back-to-back ships right there.
8-1, go to the playoffs. The Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers got shut out twice during the year against Cass City and USA. They're in the playoffs at 6-3. They had a battle against Harbor Beach last night.
Right.
So three teams from the Greater Thumb West: Bad X, Carroll, Reese, and Vassar. Not in the playoffs. Bad X finished the season 4-5 overall. Carroll 3-6 overall. Reese 2-7 overall. Vassar 1-8 overall. I forgot to update that score, actually. Who won that? Oh, obviously.
It had to have been Vassar because they came in 0-8.
Oh, did they? So they beat Lakeville last night.
Everybody beat Lakeville for the last 2 years.
Well, you know, the coach resigned mid-season.
Instead of undefeated, that's called totally defeated.
Yeah.
Deflated, defeated. Yes. And
all right. So I talked to USA head coach Josh Sean last night about that game. Jonathan Bisher was with me at that game, and I got the stats from Jonathan. Does a good job, by the way, on our Thumb Tugger broadcast. On we got the stats right here with Brown City. You know, Dave, you were telling me how frustrating it was to see Brown City can move the ball. They just can't get it past that 30, 25-yard line sometimes.
Once they get in that red zone, something happens, and it's psychological now probably because it's been going on for 2 or 3 years, and they just really struggle to get into the end zone.
They ate up 9 minutes of the clock in the first quarter, and then they forced USA to punt on their first series of offense. So I said, hey, Brown City, I know seniors on this team. No, it could be the final game of the regular season. It could maybe get in at 5-4, sneak in. Wasn't meant to be. 153 yards rushing, and the leading rusher for the Brown City Green Devils was Jacob Primo. He had 50 yards, 49 yards for Jacob Martis. We had, Turner, late, big boy. Turner whipped 14 yards. He got a key 4th and 4, 27 yards for Petraeus for Brown City.
What Petraeus have?
He had 27 yards.
He's been ripping it up for him this year, and he's been having 100, 200-yard games. That's surprising.
He's usually been right on that list of leading rushers in San Luis County every time I've seen it.
Good defense, obviously, by the coach staff of USA. 19 yards for Wiltsey also. And receiving just 8 yards. Dawes and a key interception near the end, which kind of put it away from Brown City even getting a chance to get back in that game. Now, USA, look out. When they finally got things rolling, touchdown run for Connor Ghetto, 37-yarder, 57-yarder, and a 35-yard touchdown run. He only had 4 carries.
4 carries for 150 yards, though.
130 yards, I think, is what I added up. Second leading rusher for the USA Patriots, Walker Foley of 59 yards, 51 yards. Also for Braylon Ballard for the USA Patriots. A total of 271 yards rushing. And Connor Ghetto, they had three different styles of running backs in the backfield. 69 yards of passing also. And he did throw a touchdown pass, Landon Zimmer, to number 3 Nash Morton for 10 yards. And that play was set up by Walker Foley on a 4th-and-1, made it a 51-yard run to get into the red zone near the end of the game to put it out of hand and win 37-0. So
37-0 is your score. So USA does put up a lot of points. They end up with almost 300 points for the season. They had 262 coming in, and then 37. That sounds like 297 to me. So 297 points on the season for the USA Patriots. They could be dangerous. I saw them when they played against Caro and totally dominated that game, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and They could do a little something in the playoffs. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and so a big win, 37-0 USA over Brown City to get in the playoffs with that 6-win. Coming up next, I'll have an interview with Josh Sean from USA.
Graff Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky is now offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all remaining 2019 Silverado trucks on the lot. Here's Sam and Brandon.
Brandon, you heard that announcer, dude. We're offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all our 2019 Silverado trucks in stock.
GM employee pricing?
GM employee pricing.
That means savings up to $9,700 on a custom crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Save up to $11,400 on an LT double cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Up to $12,400 on an LT crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
How about savings up to $12,900 on an LD double cab?
GM employee pricing for everyone.
And don't forget about the Graff guarantee.
That's right, Brandon. Bring us your best deal in writing. If we can't beat it, we'll pay you $100 just for your time.
With GM employee pricing for everyone and the Graff guarantee, you'll always get the best deal right here.
Only at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. You better hurry. GM employee pricing for everyone ends October 31st. Hey, Brandon, can I say one more thing?
What's that, Sam?
Truck Month? I thought you were going to say something about a kayak again.
The staff of Knox Disposal in Brown City is proud to sponsor local sports programs. Knox Disposal is a full-service waste disposal company specializing in curbside residential pickup, commercial dumpsters, and residential dumpster services. Knox Disposal has been in business since 1963, providing affordable service to their customers. Knox Disposal also offers their customers one free large item pickup per year, such as a couch or non-Freon appliance. They service a wide region from south of Yale to north of Palms and Lakeshore west through Kingston. Knox Disposal is a family business serving the area for three generations and offers curbside, drop-off, and dumpsters. Check out their service area, pricing, and all other information online at knoxdisposal.com and sign up for online statements and bill pay. Call 810-346-3177 today.
Kohler Oil and Propane, your number one fuel source provider, proudly serving the Michigan Thumb area. Kohler Oil and Propane Services provide propane services to all types of customers, whether it's residential, commercial, and industrial, or agriculture cost-effective uses. The company's longevity and dependable supply contracts help assure an uninterrupted fuel supply. And with bulk deliveries, that's Kohler Oil and Propane. Call 1-800-572-2191 or on the website getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohlers.
They were limited to 0 yards in the first 9 minutes, but they figured out how to get some yards there and break away against the Brown City Green Devils. Show some bright spots. With us, Coach Josh Hahn. Coach, congratulations on getting your sixth win. You knew you wanted to get this to assure yourself a playoff spot. I think one of the toughest schedules. This is the fourth game we've covered up with you guys. We saw you against Subley. We saw you against Carroll. Big win there after two straight losses against two of the toughest teams in the Greater Thumb Conference. And then you get four straight wins. Carroll, Bad Axe, Reese. Huge win against Lakers on your home field to get those playoff points also. That might have gotten you at 5-4, but you want to get that sixth win.
All right, well, thanks, guys. Proud of our guys. They fought hard. Credit to Brown City. They came in, held on the football, like you said. We didn't get on the field with only a few minutes left in the first. Took us a little bit to figure it out, but we made adjustments, and then offensively we kind of got going. I don't know why we came out a little flat, but I think they had a good game plan, and we adjusted and took care of business and moved on to playoffs. Like I said, very proud of our guys. If you guys covered us week one,
yeah,
we've made a lot of improvements since then, and I think we'll be a tough out, but time will tell. So
I like how you open up the offense also near the middle of the season, near the end. You know, you got a quarterback who can pass. You know, you want to get that ball out there. Of course, principal offense, wing offense. You got three good running backs back there, all different styles. Connor Ghetto of his strength starting to break open after those first 2 weeks. It was quite a struggle for him, but then he broke away. But then Walker Foley with a speed, and then you have Braylon Ballard, even more of a little bit of a speed. You know, he can catch the ball also in stride as well. All different unique running backs. It makes it a little bit harder for the defense to really focus on who to put their guy on.
Right. Early on, we're trying to figure out what was best for us. And as you said, a balanced attack for us is our best offense. Mixing in and out with different guys. Nash Morton, Cody Pulowski do a good job for us. They may not get the touches as the other guys, but they're usually lead blocking, leading the way, do a great job. But I think if we continue to be balanced and play good defense, good things will come our way.
And more than likely you'll meet an area team. It might be one of the teams you met earlier in the season. I'm sure you're going to study that game film. I know they make their adjustments also, but I would say at least 50 to 60% they try to keep the same type of plays that have been working. And I know you're going to be doing a lot of film and trying to figure out, you know, whether the follow snooze to use predictions or what they come on Sunday selection. But I think these players seem to settle in. The confidence really probably built up with the four straight wins and knowing that you were that close against Cass City, 13-8.
And that close against Harbor Beach. You know,
yeah.
Harbor Beach has been, what, the top team in the Thumb for how many years now? You guys go over there, a game we covered, had a chance to really to win it, came up short on fourth down, yeah. That kind of sealed the game for Harbor Beach. But, you know, like we said, week one we saw you guys against Ubley, it was – wasn't pretty, but you showed some promise, and then here you are now, week 9. Very good season so far, and you got some potential to go in the playoffs. Like I said, I think you're going to be a very tough out. I like to see what Landon Zimmer, how comfortable he is at quarterback now. Last year was, I believe, his first year at quarterback. First game, he still looked uneasy against Ubley, and then now you see him settle in, throw some nice passes. I think he's kind of become this hidden leader of the team, it looks like, a little bit.
Yeah, Landon, played tight end pretty much from eighth grade until last year, moving to the quarterback. Had a shoulder injury against Lakers week 7 last year, so he really couldn't throw the last 2 weeks, but he gutted it out. He's really, like you said about the Carroll game, is really coming to his own. Very confident back there now, makes good decisions, throws a pretty good ball. He's kind of a fourth or fifth weapon now that we didn't have on week 1 and week 2. And so I'm really proud of Landon. He works hard at it. You know, every day he's out here working on his stuff, getting better as a quarterback, making better decisions. As you guys noted, every week he looks a little more comfortable, a little better. And he's got a good arm. We're fortunate to have him. It complements our running backs very well. And, you know, in our offensive line, from where we were week 1 against Ubley to where we are now, we've come a long way just on communication and picking things up. And a lot of that credit goes to Coach Gardy. I mean, he works with the offensive line. Does a great job with those guys, and we've only gotten better every week. And hopefully that trend continues. If we got to go to Ubley or Harbor Beach, or
you could potentially get a home game too. The way it works out, you never know. Being close enough to Saginaw for you guys, you could potentially get a home game right with one of those Saginaw teams. We're happy to go to Saginaw, but I think everybody would love to see you guys face Ubley or Harbor Beach again. I would love a rematch of those two teams. You know, same style offenses, powerhouse, thumb football in the playoffs. I think that's what everybody's kind of looking forward to. I don't know. You probably haven't looked out there and seen any scores or anything. We all know how you guys are. You're just going to wait till Sunday and see your draw and then get to work. But you know, you played both Ubley and Harbor Beach. Have you possibly seen some weaknesses you could exploit if you get one of those two teams?
Well, I think everybody has areas you like to attack. You know, I'm sure they say the same about us. But we've played them both, and there's some things that, you know, we'd like to different. But I know their coaches. They're good coaches. They're doing the same thing. Everything we've seen, like you guys, is we're probably going back to the thumb, or staying in the thumb, I should say.
Yeah.
I happened to have a conversation with Coach Sweeney the other day. He's a good friend of mine. We always joke around, it'd be nice if the thumb teams didn't have to beat on each other in the first round. We could go somewhere else and then meet up maybe week 2 or week 3, but it doesn't always fall that way. So we're happy to be in, but not satisfied. So we want to try to make some noise and see what our guys can do.
You talked about the offensive line, but also, hey, I tell you what, good defense. Big stark contrast in the last couple, five years. Not giving up too many points, you know. Good, I would say a good turnaround defensively for your players. I know a lot of the players playing both sides of the ball, but some of these little guys we're watching, those are the guys who are going right through those sliver of room and initially making that contact and then getting the help and the finishing tackles from your DBs and LBs too.
Yeah, and again, Coach Gardy is our defensive coordinator. Our guys have really bought into the style of defense we want to play. Like you said, we have some smaller, maybe defensive tackles and compared to some teams, but they do a great job. I mean, they do their assignments. They get after it. They're quick. They're tough. They're relentless up there, and then our linebackers and defensive ends kind of clean up. Again, I did talk about the offensive line, but our defense has made tremendous growth also. We got a lot of young guys. That's what people – we're pretty junior, sophomore dominant. We have 5 seniors who we're definitely going to miss. They've done huge things for us this year.
I saw some seniors in the backfield getting some touches. I know in practice they have to play, when you're playing both sides of the ball, I know Ghetto plays linebacker. He's got to learn how to, play defense. So you depend on those guys in practice. It's nice to see them to get touches today. So
absolutely. And they earn their touches, and then they work hard every day in practice and do all the little things. It's nice to get them the ball here and there, and we can.
So, Principal Hahn, when you call the kids down to the office, is it to study film or is it because they're in trouble?
Football for me is only after school.
That's what they all say. That's what even the teachers say that. But we all know they watch film in class.
It's called lunch period. We
watch. It's a long lunch period. Well, Coach Sean, you can see the growth that you've done here also as head coach and with the players. And congratulations getting the 6th win and playing tough throughout the whole season. I'd say one of the all-around toughest schedules in the Greater Thumb Conference with the teams you face. Congratulations. Playoffs.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good
thank
luck.
Thank you.
Coach Josh Sean, I'm glad we were able to steal you away from the celebration real quick. We had to talk to you, and I want to get you the credit there also, but the players too, and the defensive coaches, assistant coaches. just a great game. We've seen these guys four times already.
We've seen them from the beginning of the season. We started with them at Elbley. We've seen them at 2 points mid or 3 points throughout the season. This is actually the fifth time Film Tailgater Sports has covered them in general with, you know, Phil doing
this week, many times.
Doing week three against Carroll, but seeing them from the beginning to the end, the dramatic improvements they have made. Like we said, we talked about Landon Zimmer finally looking comfortable at quarterback. Connor Gettle not being asked to carry the workload like he was last year thanks to Walker Foley and Braylon Ballard. And now you see on the defense how much they stepped up. We talk about Gettle on the defense, Nash Morton, one of their main defensive backs, but Jacob Nintz at the linebacker. That kid makes play after play. You know, this, they don't rely just on one player like a lot of teams do. They're very balanced. I think they could make some noise, and we could potentially be having some rematches here for a district championship, whether it's Ubley Harbor Beach, USA Ubley, USA Harbor Beach. One of these three teams, very easily any three teams could be district champs if they're all in the same district.
All right, I want to thank Jonathan Bishop and also Eddie Fury, myself there, for doing that interview, and Josh Hahn.
Classic Eddie Fury. Classic Eddie Fury. Thanking himself.
Thing. Yep.
All right, commercial break. News.
I am wonderful.
Snooze
just ask me.
Snooze to you when coming up next at 10 o'clock on Sportsline.
Are you looking to improve your health and get your body in peak performance? You need to visit the Health Store in Sandusky. You'll find the area's best selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, essential oils, nutritional supplements, and more. The Health Store now carries a wide variety of CBD oil products from brands you can trust. The Health Store is located on M46 in Sandusky. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 10 to 1. Give them a call at 810-648-3637.
Dry County Equipment, your John Deere dealer, invites you to gear up for fall and take advantage of special clearance pricing during the fall tractor sale. Get 0% financing for 60 months on many models. Buy the 1023E utility tractor with quick action loader for only $12,249. The 3025E utility tractor with 300E loader package is reduced to just $18,000. You can also get additional discounts on many models when you add additional implements or pay cash. Save big bucks on the John Deere 1025 utility tractor with 120R loader and powerful 23.9 horsepower diesel engine, reduced to $15,849. There's also the 2025R utility tractor with 120R loader, priced to move at $18,500. There are also many other models priced to go. Remember, it's 0% financing for 60 months during the fall tractor sale now through October 31st at Tri-County Equipment, with 10 locations serving Michigan in Sandusky, Marlette, Carroll, Bad Axe, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, and Reese.
Tri-County Equipment. Keep your radio locked right here on the Thumbs Information Station, 660 WMIC, Sandusky.
Welcome back to Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. I'm Eddie Fury, your co-host, along with Dave Frederick and Phil Nickel of Thumbtoe Sports.
Eddie, the expert.
Not going to miss.
There you go.
I am not the expert, but we do have an expert with us on the phone, up from a 10-second nap. We have Snooze to You with us, believe it or not. And Snooze, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Trying to inject some coffee into my veins here, but
in the veins.
Otherwise doing well.
Do you have an IV hooked up to yourself right now?
Phil can help you with that.
I wish I did.
Just mainlining the coffee. I like it.
All right. Well, Snooze to You is with us, folks. And, of course, Mapatology, for those who do not know, shame on you. SnoozeToYou.com/Mapatology. He's on Facebook and Twitter. And you've been doing this for how long now, Snooze?
Since 2007.
Man, I recall coming across it back in 2007, and I kind of saw this, and I saw you kind of filter this out back in the old mlive.com forums, if you recall, where there's a lot of battles. And what you have been kind of ahead of the curve here, I would say, because now it will no longer be six wins. The mathematical equation has always been a factor in your calculations and predictions on who's going to play who.
Right, that's going to change next year, where wins really won't be a factor at all. And, in fact, they're going to change the playoff formula as well. Currently, you don't get a lot of points for playing tough teams and losing to them. And next year, that the bonus points for losing to tough teams will go up just slightly.
And with that, again, I was saying that you always based your predictions on the mathematical scales. So, again, you were ahead of the curve anyways on this, not really taking the six win to get in equation, although it does factor in, but yet you use the mathematical equation.
Well, I use the formula that the MHSAA puts out there. There's a little tweaking that goes on between weeks 3 and 8 that allows us to approximate where the division breakpoints are going to be. But for the most part, we follow the formula as it's written by the MHSAA. There's a little, white magic behind the scenes. But.
right. So how does the formula that they're going to compare to what they currently do for 8-player football? Is it similar, or is it going to be totally different than kind of what they do for 8-player right now to figure out the playoff points?
It's going to be exactly as the 8-player is as far as determining the teams. However, I shouldn't have said exactly, but it's going to be based entirely on playoff points like 8-man. The difference is going to be that for 11-man, they're going to split all of the teams into 8 divisions before the season begins. That doesn't happen right now with 8-man. Right now with 8-man, we take the top 32 teams as far as playoff points go, and those 32 are in. And then we split them 16 and 16 based on enrollment. So there's a subtle difference on how the two will work, but both will essentially choose the teams based on playoff points alone.
And so, Snooze, for our teams here locally in the Thumb, maybe we'll go 8-man if you have some things there. I know that's not all set in stone, but thinking about the Peck Pirates, Deckerville, Kingston, Mayville, those teams Division II, Division I games there, but what's your feel with those games?
Well, I think your little neck of the woods over there is actually quite simple as far as who's in and who's out, which is nice. In Division I is very clearly Deckerville and Kingston, and Division II, Peck and North Huron. And I'm not certain if there are others that are close that are kind of knocking at the door, but
New Haven Merritt Academy kind of is down to our south, but I know they're part of that NCTL, and Mayville, of course.
Yep,
they'll probably all be in there.
Let me see. Merritt looks like they might be in D1, and they're a possibility as being in the district. Mayville as well. I very strongly see Deckerville, Kingston, and Mayville very likely in the same district, right?
Yep.
And then it's kind of a choice. I could see New Haven or Genesee might sneak in. There's maybe just one or two other teams that are even a possibility. Flint International is kind of hovering over there.
Because I know there's some games to be played this afternoon, right, too, that may have a bearing on it.
That's correct. That's why it's really hard to be specific today. And I'm also, depending on the scores that were reported last night, which are sometimes found to be wrong the next day. So.
Yes. Yep. So another question, too, for 8-player. Gaylord St. Mary had to forfeit some games. Does it look like they're going to make it into the playoffs by your projections?
It does, and I'm so happy for them. I'm fairly certain they're going to be in.
That's I know that's interesting, just been, yeah.
Because the current projections have them in Division One of 8-man, and that pushes Colon down to Division Two. They're right on the edge.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. That was the thought I had too.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now. But as you mentioned, there are games to be played, and we both know that sometimes scores get reported and flipped.
We're looking into 11-player now. We'll move up to Division 5. Frankenmuth did lose last night to New Lothrop, state champions, by the way. They're likely falling Division 5. I see that Marine City has one of the highest points in that Region 3. and that side of the bracket there. We know about Marine City. Me and you would always meet up at Ford Field, and you think Marine City is this is their year to make it back to the semifinal or state championship game.
They look pretty strong. You know way better than I do as far as what they look like this year compared to others. But on paper, they sure look good.
Yeah, they do play in a tough league, the Macomb Area Conference League also. And I see that you have Richmond and Alma in a potential rematch. And then Franklin move maybe against Carleton. And Garber gets in, as well as Mount Morris at 5-4. Is there a reason why there's a lot more teams getting in 5-4? Is it because there were some teams that dropped an 8-player?
I think a big part of that is the mass exodus of smaller schools going to 8-man. And it's kind of a double whammy because you have less schools to begin with, right? But also, something a lot of people don't think about is a lot of those schools, even though they weren't playoff teams themselves, they were easy wins for other schools that are still in 11-man. So the schools that remain in 11-man aren't winning six games at the same rate that they were before. And there have also been a handful of schools that have just completely folded their football programs as well. So,
and I saw in Division Six that Millington could get in, now that they actually started winning games. They're in a tough with the Tri-Valley East folding, and then they had to go into a really tough league where you had Ithaca and some other great tough teams that are usual suspects in the playoffs. Do you believe that Millington, now with 5 wins and 4 losses, will get in?
I have no doubt that Millington will get in. I think they're the only 5-4 team that you guys are really kind of keeping an eye on, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
I looked at the list as far as late last night. They were, I want to say, second or third on the list of Class Cs. And there's a very good chance that every 5-4 Class C team will get in. At the most, only one or two will be left out, and Millington is very high on that list, so they're definitely in.
Wow, that's
I think I read in an article that this year could break the record for most 5-4 teams getting into the playoffs in 11-player football.
Yeah, I'm not certain what the record is, but I think we're looking at around 54 plus or minus 5-4 teams.
That's a lot.
So, and yeah, like I said, it's going to definitely include all the D's, and it will very possibly include all the C's. And then even if you look at the list of A's and B's, the majority of those will also get in.
And Snooze, so what's your day like today? I know you not have much sleep working on this. What's your day hold for you today?
Well, much of it is just waiting for the scores to trickle in. The first kickoff today is around, it's either 10:30 or 11. I want to say there's about 15 or so games to be played, including a couple of out-of-state games. But the last kickoff tonight is at 5 p.m., and that game in particular has implications on the field. It's Detroit Catholic Central against Orchard Lake St. Mary's. If DCC wins, they're in. If they lose, they're out. And, you know, it kicks every team up or down one.
Right. So will you update your listings here, or is this 8.5? Is that the last posting that you'll make for projections?
8.5 is the last one you're going to see until probably very late tonight. Once all of the games are done, and all of the scores have been reported. I check very frequently the playoff points table from MHSAA and confirm that I have the 256 teams chosen plus the 32 8-man. And then I go to work making the maps. I have a guy that proofreads the maps, for lack of a better term. But he goes over and makes me argue basically every district why I did it this way, why not that way, which is awesome.
Right.
And then I'll post the maps. Considering the last game is at 5, it gets done, 7:30 or so. It's probably 8:30 before I confirm the list. do the maps. It could be, you know, 11 p.m. or so if things go well, and I will post my week 9.
And then you can now, and then you get to watch that late night college football game
right.
Oh yeah, and I'm a Michigan fan. I'll have that on while I'm working. But
so one of the things I love about your website too is your map is interactive. You can just hover over where the various points are, and it'll tell you exactly who the team is. So there's no kind of guesswork. So I do appreciate that. I love your website. It's well set up, easy to use, and I like to refer to it often.
I appreciate that.
Snooze, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
SnoozeToYou.com is the website, folks. So check it out if you never. Seen it. It's been on for over 12 years. SnoozeToYou.com is the website. I saw that Cass City against Lakers also, and possibly Division 7. I see Sandusky against Beaverton also. Your usual suspects, though. Do you have any favorites that you think have a chance to go to the state semifinals, or is it your usual suspects from year to year?
In Division 7?
Yeah.
Well, the ones I hear about all the time are New Lothrop and Tuamo and...
Jackson Lumen Christi, I think I see.
Yeah. I forgot. They're back down in 7. Those are the three big ones that I hear about. I know you guys have some strong teams over there. I'm in the Grand Rapids area, and right. I don't hear a lot about your teams over there.
Right.
Well, Harbor Beach is one that's 9-0, and they've been there and done that before, quite a program. And it'll be interesting to see how the Pirates can do in the playoffs. They got a tough district. I'm looking at things here, but if they can get off to a nice start, I think Harbor Beach could have a shot at least making a trip down to Ford Field.
That'd be awesome. Got to meet up with you guys.
We do
at Ford Field.
Yeah, we do every year. We'll do that. I know you have Ish for me and your usual suspects there. Breckenridge having a good year, 8-1. Beale City is there also, and Reading seems to have a good season also. And Royal Oak Shrine is always another team that gets in there also in Division 8. So SnoozeToYou.com. I know you want to take a quick nap and then get the site updated again. What games are you attending? Are you attending any games today?
Today, no. In fact, I have a daughter in a marching band, and if the rain holds off, we've got a marching band competition in the middle of the afternoon.
That's
so
great.
I have a youngest daughter. She did marching band, cheerlead, and cross country, and she's 8th grade, about to be in 9th grade next year. I can't believe she's growing up so fast. But they really take up a lot of your time. But bless you, man. I'm enjoying this time with her. The first two kids, a little boring.
Whoa.
But this one, she is a spark plug, man, and she's my athlete. And, it's real fun to see them growing, and it's great for them to be involved with a community like that. So,
Snooze, I just want to say, too, I appreciate your time on Sandlot Broadcasting, the WMIC, second time for us to have you, and I really appreciate communicating with you by texting or messaging, but appreciate your time here, and really looking forward to working with you in the future. And Eddie's been a big boost here, obviously, but really thank you. I know it's a busy time for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
SnoozeToYou.com is the website. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Snooze, we thank you. I'll see you at Ford Field later this month. Maybe up north.
Maybe up in Marquette, too, yeah. I love that reaction.
All right. Thank you, Snooze. We'll let you go.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. Snooze to you. Go to SnoozeToYou.com. SnoozeToYou.com. As if I have to tell you, for all those high school sports fanatics in football, right?
All this talking of snoozing makes me want to take one.
That's what I'm doing after this broadcast.
Me too.
How ironic. Snooze to you, yet he never takes a nap during high school football season.
This has got to be a crazy weekend for him.
Yes.
He mentioned that one game tonight, that Detroit Catholic Central and Orchard Lake St. Mary's. That's going to be a dandy of a game. That's the only loss Orchard Lake St. Mary's has had this season already, is they played Detroit Catholic Central once. So.
All right, coming up, we got interviews with Coach Round of the Deckerville Eagles, and also talking about the NCTL coming up, Jeff Kozel will be with us. We'll be right back here on Sportsline. Dave Frederick, Phil Nickel, I'm Eddie Fury. We'll be right back.
This is Carrie Regantine, Administrator at Autumnwood of Deckerville. We are proud to announce that Autumnwood has been recognized as a 2019 Silver Achievement and Quality Award recipient by the American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living. The award is the second of three distinctions possible through the program, which recognizes providers across the nation that have demonstrated their dedication to improving quality of care for residents and patients in long-term and post-acute care. Our facility has worked hard to provide excellent care and service to our local community. Our success is a direct reflection of the hard work and dedication that our employees put in each and every day. If you would like more information about Automotive Deckerville, call Sarah Albright at 810-376-2145, 810-376-2145, to set up a tour.
Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky is now offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all remaining 2019 Silverado trucks on the lot. Here's Sam and Brandon.
Brandon, you heard that announcer, dude. We're offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all our 2019 Silverado trucks in stock.
GM employee pricing?
GM employee pricing.
That means savings up to $9,700 on a custom crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Save up to $11,400 on an LT double cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Up to $12,400 on an LT crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
How about savings up to $12,900 on an LD double cab?
GM employee pricing for everyone.
And don't forget about the Graf guarantee.
That's right, Brandon. Bring us your best deal in writing. If we can't beat it, we'll pay you $100 just for your time.
With GM employee pricing for everyone and the Graf guarantee, you'll always get the best deal right here.
Only at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. You better hurry. GM employee pricing for everyone ends October 31st. Hey, Brandon, can I say one more thing?
What's that, Sam?
Truck mug?
I thought you were going to say something about a kayak again.
Are you looking to improve your health and get your body in peak performance? You need to visit the Health Store in Sandusky. You'll find the area's best selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, essential oils, nutritional supplements, and more. The Health Store now carries a wide variety of CBD oil products from brands you can trust. The Health Store is located on M46 in Sandusky. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 10 to 1. Give them a call at 810-648-3637.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Nature isn't the only force that can leave its mark, especially when you have a tractor built to help make your property your own. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done the way it should be done. Dig, mow, haul, and comfortably maneuver in tight spaces. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. The BX series, America's best-selling subcompact tractor. Kubota, shape your world.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
A march towards the sun. Which team will have a sunset setting come next week at the end of the quarters? Hello.
Back we are in Sportsline with Mr. Wonderful.
On WMIC AM 660 at a Sportsline. And
the other Mr. Wonderful.
Thank you to Snooze to you for calling
in. That was a great interview. Thank you, Snooze.
We tried.
Eddie did his best to put his stink on it, but the God Fury came through like always.
Boy, don't go to the bathroom in my house. Speaking of stink.
Bring your own can of spray.
Somebody get the Charmin. Okay, let's stop being soft and let's go hard in with our
eight-man
recap
football
of the Kingston Mayville game. Deckerville going undefeated 9-0. We'll have Coach Brown that Dave Frederick interviewed this morning.
Right.
And the Kingston Mayville was an interesting game to look at. Both teams are in the playoffs as well as Deckerville. In fact, you believe an NCTL team will make it to the state semifinals once again.
I do. I believe an NCTL team will make it to the state finals in either Division One or
that's
two.
That's a bold call.
It's a bold call. I made it last year, and I was correct with Morris making me good on that one. And we'll see who does it this season. We had a
big win for Kingston last night.
Huge win for Kingston. These teams came in on paper almost evenly matched in points scored for the season, in record, in points given up. And as a matter of fact, they had both lost to the same two teams. They had both come in with two losses. They had both lost to Morrison, Deckerville. So I knew we were going to have ourselves a dandy of a game. Near the
end, would call it a slobber knocker.
A slobber knocker. There you go.
Knocker it was.
Yeah. Well, we've got a dandy today. So, and the final score was 40-22, but throughout most of the game, Kingston did win, of course. It was a lot closer than that. Started the action right off. Kingston on their opening drive, about eight or nine plays, marched it down the field, scored number 22. That's going to be Jake DeLong for them with a 11-yard touchdown run. He ran in a two-point conversion. Right away on their next possession, Mayville with a huge pass play. It was Austin Middleton to Jeffrey Frost for 56 yards for the touchdown. Jeffrey Frost is about 5 foot, or about 6 foot six and 240, but he can run.
That's for Mayville?
Yeah, for Mayville. I would just throw the ball up to him all day long. Mayville didn't get the two-point conversion. That was 8-6, still in the first quarter. They exchanged possessions a few. There was an interception, a turnover by Kingston had thrown an interception to Mayville. Not a whole lot going on, just back and forth, until 11:03 left in the second quarter. And that would be Caleb Goss with a 13-yard touchdown run for Kingston.
That's a big boy.
He is huge, he runs hard. And he also did convert the two-point conversion. 14-6, your score, Kingston with the lead. And that's how it would have remained until Mayville scores with 2:33 left in the half, number one. And that was Austin Middleton with a two-yard run. He also ran in a two-point conversion. It was 16-14, and that's not quite how we went into halftime, because Kingston put up one more touchdown before the half. Jake DeLong scored with just 20 seconds left. Goss ran into two-point conversion. 24-14 was your halftime score.
So that's how you started to pull away after that.
Well, not really, Eddie, because to open the second half, hold on dear. Number 33, that is Jacob Miller for Mayville, ran the second half kickoff back 78 yards for the touchdown.
Wow.
It was Middleton to Frost for the two-point conversion. 24-22 at this point. We thought we had ourselves a ballgame. This was with only 11:39 left in quarter number three. Kingston comes right back and scores. It was Goss again with a 10-yard touchdown run. He also had a two-point conversion. They were up 32-22. Then their defense just took over. Kingston defense did not allow much for yardage for the rest of the game for Mayville. They did score a late touchdown in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes left, and that was by number 13, their quarterback. And that is Aaron Kohler, ran it in from 2 yards out. DeLong with the two-point conversion, 40-22, and that's how it would end up. They had a defensive stand. As far as stats for the night, evenly matched for Kingston here is their two big running backs, which are Goss and DeLong. Goss had unofficially, I had Goss with 26 carries for 152 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 2-point conversions. Jake DeLong with 26 carries, exactly the same amount of carries for 141. So one back has 152 yards, one has 141. 2 touchdowns, 1 2-point conversion. Aaron Kohler, the quarterback, 5 rushes for 22 yards with a touchdown, 1 completion for 23 yards. Stats for Mayville, everything goes through Austin Middleton. He is everything for them on offense. He had 13 carries for 42 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 2-point conversion. Passing, had him for 8 for 14 for 176 yards. Their big receiver was, of course, Jeffrey Frost, 3 catches for 99. And number 7, Stephen Gilbert, with 2 catches for 66 yards. The tail of the tape here.
Passing yards for Mayville.
Yeah. A lot of passing yards for Mayville. They could not run the ball. They had maybe a total of 40 yards rushing for the night.
I think what they got on their digital scout now, it's officially just went up 34 yards.
Yeah.
Because they lost a yardage.
Yeah, well, chances are when I'm keeping my game, sometimes I'll have a sack or something. Yeah. I won't record. It'll get recorded as a rush. So
popcorn
very close
got
there.
In the way or something.
Yeah, something.
The key thing was Kingston keeping the ball away. From
time
Mayville.
Of possession was
27 first downs for Kingston.
And Kingston
we saw Kingston down in the Pet a couple weeks ago there, and I was really impressed with Goss and DeLong and Kaler. Those guys are quite the athletes. And then you got Jack Green as a receiver there for Kingston. Nice ball club.
Now, Snooze did have Kingston losing to Mayville, so that's wrong now. Right. It's going to be flips, so maybe Kingston will be playing Mayville and New Haven Merritt against Deckerville.
I actually said this at the top of the broadcast here. I firmly believe there could be a rematch here, and it'll be at Kingston. So they could actually play again this week. I would not be surprised, and it looks like maybe New Haven Merritt will be traveling to Deckerville, potentially. Yeah. These maybe. Are just potentially.
We know for the NCTL, Morris, Flint International might get in. Genesee from the NCTL, Deckerville, the top team right now, who is undefeated along with Sutton's Bay. Overall, Kingston, Mayville, New Haven, Merritt, those are the NCTL teams. And down in Division Two, we think Peck might get in with their loss, despite their loss to Peck. And North Huron, with their win over Burton Atherton, they could be getting in also. Those are your NCTL teams. Coming up next, speaking of Deckerville, 9-0, you've got the interview with head coach Bill Brown. Can you give us a little bit of preview coming in?
Yeah, just coming in. Coach Brown said that they just, you know, they've been a team-oriented squad all year long. Spread the ball out. Isaac Kineth, of course, their fifth-year senior. Talk about kids that have been there calling names a long time. Kineth does a great job there. And Carlos Ibarra, Connor Lamont, I think his last name. And,
Connor Lamont, that is correct.
Yeah, Connor Lamont. Those guys, this is a great ball club, and Bill's pretty excited. The kids are, and we'll be talking to him after a break.
In your opinion, Austin Middleton or one of the Kingston players or Isaac Kineth, top players for eight-player football?
For eight-player football that I've seen, Austin Middleton is probably the best athlete, but as far as complete football players, I'm going to have to go with probably either the quarterback for Kingston, Aaron Kohler, or Kineth for Deckerville. Because they both, it's funny because they both, all three of them play quarterback and all three of them play safety or cornerback.
And I know that Deckerville didn't have to necessarily do it against Peck, but they do pass a little bit more near the end of the season. We saw that against Kingston, actually, with their win.
They did throw the ball last night. Yeah.
So, okay. Coming up next, head coach Bill Brown with Dave Frederick here on Sportsline. We're going to check in now with our weather forecast.
Well, the forecast for this Saturday, a bit of morning sunshine, but there is going to be a lakeshore flood advisory in effect from 6 o'clock this evening till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, 80 sun this morning will give way to a thickening cloud pattern and some rain by the end of the day. High temperatures headed to near 50. Tonight, cloudy and rainy. Lowest temperatures about 45, 47 and rising into the morning. On Sunday, the rain in the morning comes to an end. We'll see the clouds breaking for some afternoon sunshine. High temperatures 55. Monday we'll have some sunshine and a high of 57. For the WMIC and WTGV 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John McMurray.
If you've been putting off buying that mower that you really need,
this is the time to reap big savings
during Tri-County Equipment's Mower Blowout Sale. Save hundreds of dollars on John Deere mowers and take advantage of no interest for qualified buyers when you pay in full within 12 months. Save $500 on a John Deere X580 riding mower with 54-inch deck. Now sale tag at $6,999. There's also $500 off on the X590 riding mower. Price to move at $7,599. Tri-County Equipment is clearing up for the fall with $300 off on the John Deere X330 mower with 42-inch deck. Now just $2,699. Buy the popular Z345R zero-turn mower with 42-inch deck for only $2,599. Offer good while supplies last during the giant mower blowout sale at Tri-County Equipment with 10 locations serving Michigan in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Birch Run, Reese, and Saginaw.
Tri-County Equipment.
The staff of Knox Disposal in Brown City is proud to sponsor local sports programs. Knox Disposal is a full-service waste disposal company specializing in curbside residential pickup, commercial dumpsters, and residential dumpster services. Knox Disposal has been in business since 1963, providing affordable service to their customers. Knox Disposal also offers their customers one free large item pickup per year, such as a couch or non-Freon appliance. They service a wide region from south of Yale to north of Palms and Lakeshore west through Kingston. Knox Disposal is a family business serving the area for three generations and offers curbside, drop-off, and dumpsters. Check out their service area, pricing, and all other information online at knoxdisposal.com. and sign up for online statements and bill pay. Call 810-346-3177 today.
On your way to or from the ball game, be sure to dine at Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky. Choose from dinner entrees like New York strip, grilled salmon, plus lots of appetizers and sandwiches. Dinners are also served on Sunday from noon to 7. And of course, it's Sunday fun day. Football season is here, and Bench Warmers has 8 widescreen TVs to watch all the games. That's Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky, where every Thursday is trivia night. Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky is now offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all remaining 2019 Silverado trucks on the lot. Here's Sam and Brandon.
Brandon, you heard that announcer, dude. We're offering GM employee pricing for everyone on all our 2019 Silverado trucks in stock.
GM employee pricing?
GM employee pricing.
That means savings up to $9,700 on a custom crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Save up to $11,400 on an LT double cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
Up to $12,400 on an LT crew cab.
GM employee pricing for everyone.
How about savings up to $12,900 on an LD double cab?
GM employee pricing for everyone.
And don't forget about the Graf guarantee.
That's right, Brandon. Bring us your best deal in writing. If we can't beat it, we'll pay you $100 just for your time.
With GM employee pricing for everyone and the Graf guarantee, you'll always get the best deal right here.
Only at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. You better hurry. GM employee pricing for everyone ends October 31st. Hey, Brandon, can I say one more thing?
What's that, Sam?
Truck mode?
I thought you were going to say something about a kayak again.
Talk with Duckerville football coach Bill Brown. And coach, you guys took care of business last night against Peck. First, let's talk about that game. We'll talk playoffs in a little later on. But big win for you guys against a rival. Went down there and took care of business.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult place to play. Coach McDaniel and staff does a great job down there. And they got some kids. They had some size advantages on us, as everyone does. And they got some good athletes. We were able to. We blundered early. We had a fumble down inside the red zone early that hampered us a little bit earlier in the game. But we still were able to rush for 311 yards and also pass for 171 yards last night. So really nice balance as far as offensively. And defensively, you know, getting a shutout. I think we had three fourth down plays that we were able to stop Peck from getting the first down, and one was down inside the red zone. So some good things are going on, and it's good to see us get to 9-0 undefeated. It's very hard to do that, and it looks like we're pretty good for playoff points, and kids deserve it. They've worked their tails off this year.
And certainly this year, I guess unusual from other years, NCTL blue top to bottom, pretty competitive with Mayville and North Huron very much improved, and of course Kingston. You've had some battles this year, and your kids have come through every time.
Yeah, you know, there's just one game at a time, and even our non-league schedule, you know, we played everybody in the South Division there, except for Morris. So we pretty much have went through the gamut of really good football teams. And just watching these kids get better week in and week out. And, you know, we're starting a lot of sophomores. We're starting a lot of juniors. The senior group has just shown great leadership, you know, between Kynes and Lamont and Carlos Ifera. Those guys have just, and Travis Trigger, those guys have just done a great job making this a football team. And you got to be selfless, and these guys are, you know, we got one night, you know, we got three or four different backs that have over 300 yards rushing. So it's not about, it's about the team, and I think these guys have realized that we play with the team aspect in mind first. We can do a lot of things.
And that's, I'm just going to mention, in that Peck game, probably you spread the ball around like you do well throughout the year, give the kids all their carries, and obviously with 300-yard rushing, another nice night on the ground for you. But certainly Isaac Kynes, that quarterback, is huge for you. Pretty good floor general, if you will, out there on the field. Good leader at the quarterback position, very talented.
Yeah. You know, he's a three-year starter. I mean, So he's played in a lot of, you know, a lot of football games the last 3 years. You know, we made the run 2 years ago when he was a sophomore to the state championship. He had a great game in that game also. You know, he was able to rush for 136 last night and threw for 171. So he was a part of a lot of that. He was able to throw two touchdowns to Trey Kalesa. You know, and then Will Brown was able to get in there at the tailback, and he had a nice game with 19 rushes for 130 yards also, so, or 119 actually. So it was good. We're spreading the ball around. You know, we're healthy. That was the main thing going in the pack. You know, you wanted to get into the game, and you want to be healthy coming out. We're able to do that, and now we move on to where we really want to be all year.
And so what do you know about the playoffs? Obviously, you'll be in and most likely have a home game, or?
Yeah, most definitely. I think we have Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart. Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart is playing Genesee today, and Flint. Flint is playing somebody too today, and if those two teams can win, I think we'll have the most points in the state as far as playoff points.
Wow.
So that's going to get a definite advantage for us. You know, the only team that was above us was Colon, and I think they had us by 0.3, but we still have two more teams that can play for bonus points. So if those two teams can win, we're going to be pretty close to having the most playoff points. So that means we can play home for up to three games, which could be the semifinal. But you know, not knowing whether we'll go north or south, or and if we stay in the South Division, we'll probably end up between, you know, we end up with Mayville or Kingston. It would probably be Mayville first game. So, it's going to be really tough. And we have to play those teams. You're playing them the second time. It's very difficult. They're both tough matchups for us. And we'll definitely have our work cut out for us the first 2 weeks if it's a really close regional like it is, because those are very good football teams and very well coached.
And certainly, without giving away any trade secrets, you'll just keep on doing what you're doing that got you to this point in the playoffs. No big change-ups or anything like that? Or
hey, not really. I mean, to be honest with you, you're hoping at the end of the season you're doing a lot of things well.
Right.
And we had to improve this week. I think this is a huge week to improve. And you know, we're able to mix it up like we did. Throw the ball and to run the ball. Defensively, you know, give up any points. Special teams were pretty solid. Right where we want to be this time of year. And we want to be healthy. We're pretty close to 100%. We're getting pretty close right now. So that's where you want to be going into the playoffs. And our kids are playing hard, and they love playing together, and that's where you want to be going into the playoffs.
And so tomorrow night, will you guys be meeting as a team, or what's your plans for the selection show?
Yep, we're going to come over to my house, and we'll have some good food and celebrate a little bit. But then Monday, I'll be right back to work, and we definitely are going to have our work cut out for us. That's for sure.
Okay, I've been talking to Deckerville football coach Bill Brown. And, Coach, thanks for your time on Saturday morning. Congratulations on your 9-0 season. And we're sure we'll be seeing you along the way in the playoffs. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
We'll be back after these words.
I'm Todd Bowers from Owendale, Michigan. I'm in new car sales at Moore Motors, and I've been doing it for over 12 years now. Overall, I have over 23 years in the automotive sales business. My role here at Moore Motors is selling new cars and also pre-owned cars. We have Ford and Lincoln here. Great selection, many, many, many rows of vehicles, trucks, SUVs, cars. We also have Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep products here, and have a great selection of those too. Gotta love it. What gets me coming here every day is dealing with the great customers, people I've dealt with for many, many years, and I really enjoy it, and I look forward to coming to work every day. The best satisfaction I get with dealing with the customers is being able to get them what they want, being able to get them a truck that'll tow the trailer that they want and have all the equipment that they want, the color they want, and make sure that they're 100% satisfied. You really do get more at Moore Motors.
Start your next project today and save with 11% off everything now at Menards, including a great selection of Hunter ceiling fans. Keep your rooms comfortable and well-lit using Hunter ceiling fans with energy-efficient LEDs. They're available in a wide variety of styles and finishes. Save 11% on Hunter ceiling fans and more. Sale prices are good through Saturday, October 26th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome back to Sports Line on WMIC AM 660. And week 9 in the books, we have another interview. And we just talked to the NCTL Blue Division champion, head coach Bill Brown, with Dave Frederick there. Undefeated 9-0 in favor to go to maybe the regionals or even state semifinal.
Yeah, I think that they could make a deep run. I mean, some dominoes will have to fall. They might have to go through Kingston again along the way, and of course maybe Morris if they make it that far, and then who knows from there. But Deckerville's one of the top teams easily in Division One of eight-player football. Wouldn't be shocked if maybe if everything went correctly, we'd be seeing them in Marquette again.
Okay, and the NCTL is going to be realigned.
Quick note before we get there. Tomorrow night, we're doing a special segment of Sportsline from Benchwarmers in Sandusky.
Yep.
We'll have, I'm assuming this crew, most of us here, I hope Phil can make it if we can.
Yep.
We'll bring the bell even.
There you go. We'll be there with the Sandusky Redskins as watching the selection show. So you can tune in to 92.5 WBGV-FM and back to the NCTL. Eddie, yeah, they got some things going on, a lot of good football, but behind the scenes, Mr. Jeff Kozel, the second Mr. Wonderful, is keeping busy doing quite a bit of realignment talk.
Yeah, and that's the NCTL being realigned once again. Dave Frederick talked to him earlier about that, as we have a lot of NCTL teams getting into the playoffs. Here is that interview.
Talking with Jeff Kozel, NCTL Executive Secretary and Golf Course Superintendent out of, I don't know what it's called now, was Huron Shores.
Still Huron Shores.
Yep. Jeff, thanks for coming on our show for Sportsline today, Saturday. And I just want to talk about some realignment that's been discussed and finally talked about now and done, I guess. Explain what's happening here and how things will look starting next year.
So starting next year for football, we're going to have two divisions of nine teams instead of the current three divisions of six teams. We're going to go with the nine teams in each division to eliminate the crossovers of the bigger schools and smaller schools.
Okay, and then this has been discussed for some time, or we were talking off air that maybe it just kind of started up this fall?
It was in September. I start doing the schedules for the following year in September, and it's just each year it gets harder and harder to who's going to play who and matchups and, you know, try to avoid lopsided wins or losses or forfeits, you know, and, you know, just trying to, you know, keep the kids in mind when doing this.
And so what did you base it on? I've been seeing some of the comments on Facebook and such that enrollment or size, that kind of thing. What's it based on?
It was strictly based on enrollment. We took all 18 schools that are in football. The top nine enrollments went to the Stars division, and the bottom nine teams went to the Stripes division.
And then talk also about, I know the state is changing their system for playoffs next year. I believe it's not six wins, but it's based on playoff points. Will this have any effect on that?
So that is only 11-man football that is being currently changed. 8-man football, they do not go with the six wins guarantees you playoffs. It's strictly at the end of the season, they take the top 32 teams for points, divide them by two. The top 16 are in the Division One, and the next 16 are in Division Two.
And so with this realignment, teams won't necessarily have less miles to travel, just a more balanced smaller schools against smaller schools, et cetera.
Exactly. Yep. You know, a lot of the teams are still going to play the same teams they played in the past. You're just going to, you know, avoid the Deckerville, Ashley, or Kingston, Owen Gage games, you know, stuff like that, you know. So this way, you know, I've talked to ADs, and a lot of them, you know, they say the kids look at the schedule and they're like, oh, we got to play so-and-so. We're not playing,
yep.
You know. And, you know, and it's hard, you know, and it's hard for the smaller schools because, you know, their first four games are against a larger opponent. So they get beat up the first 4 weeks, and then weeks 5 through 9 are their division games, and they come in on crutches, you know, not necessarily crutches, but,
right.
You know, they're injured, you know, going into those important games for a league title. So, you know, this way, you know, gives everybody a better game all around.
It seemed like we've seen quite a bit of that this year, teams either forfeiting for whatever the reason is, whether they're banged up, only have 8 kids, less than that. It's just been kind of a frustrating season, I'm sure, for you and some of the teams.
It's been very frustrating, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it hurts everybody. You know, it's not only the school that, you know, forfeits, you know, they're bummed that they're not playing and they feel bad, but it's also, you know, it's hurting the other schools. You know, for instance, New Haven this week, they're looking for an opponent for week 9 to play because they have 80 little cheerleaders coming in from their elementary to do the elementary cheerleading program.
Right.
And they have to cancel it because they don't have a game to play. Hmm. You know.
And so just briefly too then, as far as the will they still have a non-conference? I know in 11-man they have, you know, week 1, week 9 are non-conference. Will something like that be the case in the NCTL, or they'll just play all the teams, all the other 8 teams?
So what it is you'll play, so there's 9 teams in each division. You'll play 8 weeks of an opponent, but because of the odd week, you can't say, all right, week 1 we're going to play all non-division. So what it is that, like, week 1, through 9, one team from each division will have a crossover game with the opposing division.
Okay. And will that be based on
that? So for the first 2 years, we did that based strictly on enrollment. So whoever is the highest enrollment, for instance, you have in the Stripes or in the Stars division, you have Atherton at 270 kids. They will compete against North Huron, I believe, is the team that they will play.
Okay.
Yep.
And so that's your schedule that you're getting hammered out here the next few weeks or whatever, and you'll have her set to go, obviously, long before next season. But
The schedule's already out. It's actually out for the next 2 years.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yep. So that way, you know, it's a 2-year contract for all the schools. Especially the crossover game. It'll be a home and home game, you know, like, so if, I think, for instance, Peck is playing Kingston next year. So, you know, year 1, it'll be at one of the schools. Year 2, it'll be at the other school. And then when we get into the that year 3 and year 4, what we're going to do is we're going to go by the place, your average place. So, like, say if you took first place both years, you're going to be the top team. And you're going to play the top team that was ever in the Stripes division.
Right. So, okay, well, lots of changes going on in the NCTL. And, Jeff, I'm sure you've had your share of meetings and phone conversations with coaches and athletic directors, and appreciate your work that you do for the NCTL. It's seen quite a change in the last few years with the mega conference, if you will.
Yes. I feel it's going in the right direction, and, you know, I'm really hoping that this is going to help everybody.
Okay, but talk to Jeff Kostel, Executive Secretary of the NCTL. Jeff, thanks for your time this Saturday morning, and best of luck to you. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, Dave.
We'll be back after these words.
It's October. Time for fall. Time for bonfires. Time for trick-or-treat. And time for deals at Thumb Cellular. This month, get a $50 gift card to your favorite local grocery store when you upgrade, add a phone, or switch to Thumb Cellular with a 2-year contract. Are you a Samsung fan? Get up to $150 off select Samsung Galaxy smartphones with a 2-year contract. Need a charger, earbuds, or a case? Buy 2 accessories valued at $30 or more and save $10. So pick your fall favorite, take your bonfire selfies, and grab your treats from Thumb Cellular this October. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more details, or visit their offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. They have the knowledge and experience to help you save. Switch to Thumb Cellular and find out why they're the talk of the Thumb. Deals are valid through October 31st, 2019. Terms and conditions apply.
Kohler Oil and Propane, your number one fuel source provider, proudly serving the Michigan Thumb area. Kohler Oil and Propane Services provide propane services to all types of customers, whether it's residential, commercial, and industrial, or agriculture cost-effective uses. The company's longevity and dependable supply contracts help assure an uninterrupted fuel supply. And with bulk deliveries, that's Kohler Oil and Propane. Call 1-800
972-2191 or on the website getkohlers.com. Remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohlers.
Back here on Sportsline, WMIC AM 660. We got to talk a little about BWAC coming up, and we may be doing that coming back after the news here real quick. Championship chase finale tomorrow night. 92.5, the home of high school sports, WBGV, will be live in the 6 o'clock hour from Benchwarmers in Sandusky and make the announcements as it's being announced on Fox Sports Go cable channel for the Sunday selection show. That starts at 7 o'clock. And tune in for that, and we'll have some interviews with the Sandusky head coach, and maybe a couple other surprises.
I heard Thumb Tailgaters is buying supper before the show. I didn't know.
I think that might be well for the broadcast team. Anyway, we can't guarantee that for everybody else. Yeah. But you know, come on out, and see us. We'll be at Benchwarmers, and it's an open forum.
Yes.
Just
and that is a WBGV / Thumb Tailgater or vice versa.
Keep it PC so Eddie doesn't have to be on a dump button if you're in the background, please.
I never had to use this dump button yet.
So. He's itching to.
He is.
I thought about dumping the Sports Hill. Oh.
Or taking out. Oh.
The dumps I get are really big. So.
That stinks.
We do have our top of the hour news. We'll be back because we got to talk a little about the BWAC. Before we close the show out, so we're going to have to come back here.
We'll be back. BWAC.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Some red hot BWAC-tion.
We'll be back after the news to talk about the BWAC. There's some teams that got in there. Almont undefeated. We'll be right back. Back here on Sportsline.
Eddie's just like a flying machine, man. He's got
his hands are just flying over there to God Fury. The Joe Buck of the Thumb, as we like to call him, for his saturation point that we've got him going.
A little quick bonus information here. We got to talk about the Blue Water Area Conference.
Sportsline Overtime.
Overtime, that's right.
North Branch gets into the playoffs. According to the predictions, North Branch will be going up against Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. That is snooze2u.com, 8.5. He did predict
that's
North Branch to win.
Prediction, yeah.
Yeah. But St. Clair, Ortonville, Brandon, who, by the way, lost to Richmond last night.
Yep.
And Pontiac Notre Dame Prep in that bracket. Those are tough teams for North Branch to face.
Yeah.
And they go up a division because they're one of the largest schools in the BWAC now.
Yep. So there's a double-edged sword, kind of, if you will. You know, it's nice to be in the BWAC, but come playoff time, it's like, no boy.
So the teams from the BWAC that were looking to be definitely in the playoffs are the Elmont Raiders finished 9-0, the Richmond Blue Devils finished 8-1, North Branch Broncos finished 7-2, and on the outside, potentially looking in, but probably not, the Emily City Spartans finished at 5-4.
Emily City / Dryden Spartan.
Correct.
Spartans, or whatever we called them.
Whatever we called
Adam
them.
Adam had a really cool name for them.
Did he?
Spartanals.
The Spartanals. Like. That was the one, yes. The Spartanals.
And the undefeated Elmont Raiders are 9-0. Richmond, 8-1. So they could face off in the first round, but Marine City in that district championship bracket. Frankenmuth in that bracket of the region also, according to the snooze to you. But Frankenmuth was predicted to be 9-0. They lost to New Lothrop, so that could change.
But mind you that New Lothrop is a much smaller school than Frankenmuth, too, but it proves that New Lothrop, of course, has been right around number one in the state almost every season for, it seems like, the past 20 years.
They've been a slobber knocker of a team.
Yes.
They have been, and I want to thank Jeff Boholski of the Elmont Raiders. I had to ask him phonetically how to say his last name for sending over the stat recap on the Elmont Raiders. Fantastic powerhouse team once again. Did really well with their win, 50-12 last night over Clio to end the Week 9 season. They're the outright BWAC champions. Josh Hellebuck, 130 passing yards. Paupert, 96 rushing yards.
Jack Paupert type, yep.
That's rushing yards. He also had 83 receiving yards also. And rushing yards, 194 and 164. Passing yards. So really trying to balance out that offense. You know you got to do that against a team potentially you may face like Frankenmuth.
You have to balance it out, and that's one of the things that Elmont does. And I also want to congratulate Eddie on pronouncing phonetically correctly.
And Elmont can't be chicken about playing Frankenmuth. We saw that game last week.
Yeah.
And last year. And that was quite a ball game. Elmont had it right till the end there, and then Frankenmuth stepped up.
Yeah,
so. Can't be a chicken about that one. Is that what you said?
Chicken.
I missed that one.
Well, it's time for us to cluck on out of here.
Here we go.
That's a recap on there. We'll catch you tomorrow, Sunday evening, 6 o'clock hour, for our special Sunday selection edition on Fox Sports 2. Go is the site you go to. We'll put the link up, but also you'll hear it as we make the announcements as they get into that and talk about what teams will get in and who won't get in. And there's a few teams, according to this news to you, says Class C teams at 5-4 are going to get in. Millington could get in.
Yes, so they could be. So we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll have our predictions once we know the matchup. So no predictions today because we don't know who's going to play yet.
Except the Lions over the Giants.
The Lions over the Giants. What about Michigan? Michigan State today? They face what? Penn State?
Michigan State is this afternoon, 3:30 p.m. against Penn State, hosting Notre Dame at Michigan. Must-win situation. And Michigan even wants to be in the conversation, especially when they got to meet Ohio State and beat them.
Ugh.
I think tonight at the big house, it rains.
You're right. There's a lot of weather. Cross-country runners.
Good luck to the cross-country runners out there. Be safe. The footing could be a little treacherous.
Flippers.
Before I forget, over 40 years was the last league title for the Harbor Beach volleyball girls team. Congratulations to the Harbor Beach Lady Pirates.
Good pull, Eddie.
Over 40-plus years. And the Harbor Beach area hosting at Wagner Park, the cross-country event in Division 4. So
now those moms will quit calling us, Sam. I'm never doing volleyball.
40-plus years is longer than I've been around.
At least 40 years. So, and by the way, you see the article from Paul Adams on the Huron County View. A good article. They have the nice pictures. I already have all over on Facebook. But congratulations, ladies. And even Brown City's head coach, Jenna Wilkie, will admit, you know, this is what makes a great Greater Thumb Conference of volleyball action. So,
and once again, thanks to Snooze to You.
Yes.
Great to have him on board today with his time. I know he's a pretty tired young man, but glad to have him and talk a little playoff football.
And again, tomorrow, 92.5 WBGV. Tune in. We'll be streaming live on 92.5. We'll put the link up so you can hear it live. We'll be live from Benchwarmers in Sandusky for the Sunday Selection Show with the MHSA, the playoffs for high school football. And we'll give our little take on it. It'll go up to about 8 o'clock hour there as the teams are being announced. You hear the audio. We can't show it, of course, because you got to watch it on Fox Sports Go.
Eddie says up until 8 o'clock, but much like today, we could go to overtime. You never know. It depends on what we get into
while
we're there,
too. We'll call the show the fifth quarter.
That's right.
Go Blue. Go Lions Blue. Honolulu Blue.
Spartian.
And Spartian, yes. I would like to see them beat Penn State.
I think we all would, Eddie.
All right. Phil Nickel, Thumb Trucker to Sports. Dave Frederick, Sportsline. I'm Eddie Fury. Thank you for tuning in. Guys, have a good weekend.
Yep,
I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Lions football, by the way, on 97.7 FM.
I see my wife.
Is that a good thing?
No.
Well, thank you for tuning in. We now join the construction show, right?
Eddie the handyman.
Eddie goes from swap shop to sports line to now the handyman. I love it.
The homeowner. No, it's homeowner, but Danny Lipford in progress. Thank you for tuning in.
You need to think about us. One of those things that if you're